morning. Greetings in Jesus' name to everyone. Welcome. I don't know how many of you remember, but about 2 years ago, there was a group of brethren, men and ladies, who came to visit here on a Sunday morning, and they were looking up an ancestor's grave. They were in their 60s and 70s, and their grandfather, some of them's grandfather had lived here in the valley right at the turn of the century in the early 1900s. And these folks had letters from their aged mothers who would have lived here as little girls. I think the mothers were 3 to 8 years old when their family moved east again. So these folks that were here had these letters from some 80 and 90 year olds who had memories of living here as little girls. And so you can imagine that the memories these older ladies had was of the very dynamic things that they remember. And one of the things they talked about in these letters was the roads. And from what we could tell in reading over those letters and helping these folks figure out where their families had lived, the roads in the valley were all dirt, except Highway 6 and 50 was paved. The rest were dirt roads. And we're not talking gravel roads, we're talking dirt roads. So when you think about, you get on a field lane when it rains and is muddy, that's how the roads were in this area. Now, we tend to complain if we have a little detour, a mile around or two, because of a road. Just think if you were trying to get everywhere in this valley with just dirt roads when it rains or the frost is going out. That's when it would really be exciting. And probably none of us, or very few of us, except maybe Nevins and Titus's, thought about the roads we drove on this morning to get here. We just take them for granted. There's a bridge out right there by Titus's, so I'm sure they think about the roads more than we do to get over here. But it even bothers me a little, because we have this tradition that we drive to church on P Road and we go home on O Road, and now we can't do that because the bridge is out. But 2 years ago, when the bridge was there, we didn't even think about the road or what it was doing. We just drove on it. So roads are very easy to take for granted unless you help build and maintain them. And I thought about that, the picture Pete showed, or some of the pictures showed the roads, and especially that one of the bridge where they were helping to fix the bridge. You start to think more about roads when you live in an area that you actually help. And so it's very important that we know how to build and maintain roads, even if you don't work for the state. Now, we're going to talk about roads, or the title is Working the Road. And this is probably more of an allegory. Working, walking on, traveling on. So we'll look at road building, road maintenance, using roads, signs. Roads are meant to get us from point A to point B. That is the point of a road. And it's interesting, like growing up in Pennsylvania, the roads, or a lot of places back east, the roads curve around and there's all kinds of hills, and rather than cutting out to make a flat road, they jump up over a real steep hill. And I'm told that's because they kind of followed Indian trails, and very likely the Indians followed deer trails, wildlife trails, and so that's how those roads started. The roads here in this valley show vision and structure, but they lack character. There's not much exciting about a straight road that is named N3/10 Road. In other areas where you have a lot of, like where Indians lived, you had roads named after Indians. You had Hilltop Road. If you hear about Hilltop Road, you figure that it goes on the top of a hill. If you have a road named Philadelphia Pike, it probably ends up going into Philadelphia. So the road, when we're talking about roads today, I'd kind of like to picture more gravel roads, just for purpose of making it applicable in your mind to what we're talking about. I like to picture gravel roads like they have in Iowa, where they're built up, they're crowned off, they got deep drainage ditches on the sides, they're smooth, but they are not paved. But they are the kind that you have to be a little careful. You have to some places slow down to when you meet someone and get over and actually notice that there's someone else traveling on the same road you are. So for road building, it is very important to have a good base. That is a starting point. In Galatians 1 verse 8, it says, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed." In Acts 4 verse 12, he says, "There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." So Jesus Christ is a foundation on which we build our roads. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read some verses here. We'll read verse 9 through 15. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So what I want to point out, especially in this reading, is verse 11 and verse 12. So Paul says he laid the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 10, it makes it sound like Paul's laid the foundation, but he gave what the foundation is, which is Jesus Christ. And then in verse 12, "If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, hay, stubble," there's different materials to build upon this foundation. But he says, take heed what you build with. If you try to build a road with hay and stubble, it may be a smooth road for a little, or it may be soft, but it will not stand the test of time or weight. So think about the materials you're building with. Will it stand the test of time? So we're going to look at building, starting with the road. You start by scarfing off the organic material, roots, brush, grass, anything that can decay, you want to scarf off, and then build on top of that. And that road going into our farm was a good example of someone who didn't do the best at understanding how roads are built. I was told that the old man that had our farm before we lived there, every time it was just a dirt road. And so every time it would rain and get muddy, instead of crowning it up and building it in with drainage, he would just take his blade and scrape the mud off both sides. And so the road got lower and lower, and there was no place for the moisture and the water to run. So it's important that we actually start the other way and build it up so we have good drainage. So when that's done, we need to start off with good coarse material. So we can try to save some money and buy material that doesn't have any moisture in it. It might be the right material, but if it doesn't have moisture in it, it may not bind, and so we may end up having trouble down the road. So buying the right product, getting the right product is important. So we could look at these big rocks or the coarse material as principles in our lives. Principles are simply comprehensive and fundamental law or doctrine. And I have a quote here by Harrigan Emerson. He says, "As to methods, there may be a million and then some, but principles are few. The man who grasps principles can successfully select his own methods. The man who tries methods without understanding principles is sure to have trouble." So if you think about principles are few, there's not many rocks in this jar, but they will do their job in their place. So they are too big to really bind together and make a nice smooth road. So we could say, well, we need to have sand so that it's smooth. Just give me an easy, smooth life. I want answers. I want a recipe. Just show me, tell me what to do. Make it easy for me. Well, remember that quote. Principles are few. Methods, there may be a million and then some. So if we try building a road with just sand, it may be smooth, but just for a bit. And probably the best example I had of that was when we put our center pivot in and the tracks start cutting in. We tried in a couple areas, just tried pushing the dirt or the sand back into the track, and it might work for one time, and the pivot runs again and it gets wet and it just pushes that right back up out. And as soon as you put good base with rock in, it builds a firm track and stays in there. And this is a good thing to think about with, especially like as young people, but it applies for all of us. Where you are in life, you could probably build your road with sand and it would hold up because you're not carrying a heavy load and you're not, there isn't so many pressures or there might not be so much traffic there, and so you could probably get by with sand, but will it stand the test of time? Will your road actually hold up when it gets weighted down with pressure and heavy loads? So here's what we would call more an ideal road material, where we have more rocks in the bottom and more the sandy gravel up top, and it will actually build a road that will be a pleasure to travel. It has the big principles in the bottom. We've got the applications on top, and they kind of blend together to make a good structured road base to travel. Here's another quote. It says, "Mix idealism with realism and add hard work. This will often bring much more than you could ever hope for." So we could think about the idealism, the smooth road, as the sand, and the realism as the rocks or the big rocks. And maybe the hard work this quote talks about is the moisture that kind of binds it all together. We seem to have this idea that in this idea that in our idealism, somehow life is going to be easy. And the realism in reality is that it's plain hard work to live a godly Christian life. So let's balance that out with working every day to do repairs and maintenance, rather than if we just believe in just hard work, we may end up dealing with a faulty foundation or a faulty base and just keep dealing with a poor road rather than actually fixing the problem. So we'll talk more on that later. And Jesus talked about this a little in Matthew 23, where he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees. I'll just read that verse. In Matthew 23, verse 23, he gave them a list of things they were doing wrong. And here's what he said. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not left the other undone." So it's not one or the other. It's a balance of adding the right ingredients together. So there's a song we sing. I'd like to sing it by memory here, of Working the Road. And I enjoy this song, and I like its message, but I do have one issue with it. It ends every line and the chorus. It says, "And make it easy for those behind." And I understand the message of the song, but we can make it easier for those that travel the road behind us. But we can't make it easy. Everybody has to do their own hard work in life. But I don't want to get too nitpicky about it. But I thought maybe we would sing the song, and we would try to remember to just sing easier instead of easy. So let's stand and sing this song. The first verse starts, "I often think of the day," and then the second is, "The road to heaven is straight," and then verse 3 is, "I'm trying daily to live."
I often think of the day so swiftly passing away. The road to heaven seems hard to find. So I am doing my best to reach that home of the blessed and make it easier for those behind. Oh yes, I'm working the road, working.
Trying daily to live for others something.
So now that you've built this good, new, smooth road, you're ready to ride off into the sunset, right? Well, not really. Good roads, even if they're built very well, need maintenance. The weight of heavy loads and extreme weather will create ruts and cause heaving. And the question always is, when are repairs necessary, or at what point is it too bad that you need to do something to it, about it? How long will you go on dodging potholes in your life? And remember, others are traveling with you on your road. Our driveway is still under construction, but I realize how much I've learned where the very smoothest part of it is and where the rough parts are when I ride with someone else in their vehicle when they're driving, because they don't know where to kind of navigate up through there. But have you become used to just dodging potholes instead of filling them in? Or are you taking extra energy, wasting extra energy, taking the long way around because you're not willing to deal with the section of road that is simply is heaving too bad or too rough to drive on? Sometimes there's extensive damage done to vehicles because of potholes. And I think Colorado actually has a law that if you hit a pothole in the road and damage your vehicle, you can sue the state. So are you willing to do that when you run into problems with your pothole? Find someone else to blame and pass it on. There are also hazards on the road. There are rocks fall down, especially in this time of year. In 1 Corinthians 8, it talks about that. And it may be even a good thing. Remember, we don't want a rock on the road, but remember that's what we're actually building a good road with, is rocks. They're just the right size. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. In this case, it was his liberty or freedom in Christ. He's in verse 9, Paul says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." So how often in life do we stumble and face obstacles because we are too lazy to move them off the road? Or maybe we're too indifferent or too insensitive. Or maybe it's someone else's rock to deal with. This just isn't my problem. Here's a quote. "People who do not develop and practice good thinking often find themselves at the mercy of their circumstances. They are unable to solve problems, and they find themselves helplessly facing the same obstacles over and over again." I have this little story I'd like to read. Some of you may recognize it as a play from the program a few years ago, and I think it makes a really good point. "Once upon a time, there was a certain king who asked his servant to dig a hole in the middle of the road and to put a bag of gold in the hole, and then cover the hole with a huge stone. The servant was puzzled and asked the king to explain his strange actions. The king replied, 'This stone will help me find a man on whom I can depend. But no one will ever look for gold under this stone. How will you find a man you are looking for?' the servant asked. 'I know no one will look for gold there,' the king answered, 'but I am worried about my people. They don't do anything for themselves. They depend on me for everything.' 'But isn't that a good thing, Your Majesty?' the servant asked. 'No, they have forgotten how to help themselves. They have forgotten how to help each other. This is not the way a country can progress. This is not the way people should be.' 'But how will this stone help?' the servant wondered. 'You will see,' answered the king. 'Shh, there come two shepherds. Let's hide and watch.' So they hid behind a bush. 'Look at that,' one shepherd exclaimed. 'A stone in the middle of the road. How did that come here?' answered his friend. 'It wasn't here this morning.' 'What a bother. Our sheep will have to go around it.' Why hasn't someone told the king? The first shepherd asked. I hope he gets it out of the way and fast. The shepherds continued on their way. See what I mean? Said the king. I think so, his servant answered. Shh, here come two women. Oh, what a terrible stone, said the one, right in the middle of the road. Thank God it's not dark. I might have stumbled on it. What is this world coming to? What is our king doing anyway? He must be sleeping in his palace. And the women stepped around the stone and on down the road. Soon two men came along and see the stone. What is this? Exclaims one. A stone in the middle of the road? Something should be done at once. This stone will hurt our business. Does the king know about it? His friend asked. He has gotten careless. He should have gotten it removed. Let's go. I'm getting late. The men leave, and soon another man comes along the road. Well, look at that stone in the middle of the road. Let me push it off. It's getting late. Someone might trip on it. He pushed the stone off the edge of the road and discovered the hole beneath. Oh, what is that in the hole? A bag of gold. This must be the king's gold. I must tell the king. I can't carry it all. I must get help. Wait, boy, the king said. I have been looking for you. Oh, the man answered nervously. I just found this gold. I did not steal it. It was under that huge stone. I only rolled the stone off the road. That's the truth, sir. I know, said the king. I know, said the king. I saw it all. In fact, I planned it myself because I am looking for someone who thinks of others, who is willing to do things himself. I have been waiting here the whole day, and at last I have found that person. The whole day, sir? And no one moved the stone? Anyone could have done that. True, the king answered, but no one did. Only you moved the stone away. Thank you. This gold is yours. Come to the court tomorrow, and a job is waiting for you. The king is still looking for men and women to move the stones off the road. Okay, the next little part I'd like to look at is road improvements. So even if a road has been well constructed, sometimes as traffic increases or whatever, there's a need for wider roads or a curve to be taken out or a hill cut out. Some of you may remember over there on K Road, like by Hunter Wash there in front of Ed's, and then on up between 22 and a half and 23 Road, there was really narrow and curves and a really steep, abrupt hill, hard to get through, especially with wide equipment. And so they came in and did a complete makeover. And the simple fact is, no matter how well our road is built, sometimes we need to take a section and completely rebuild it. Do a deep cut and start over with laying down the proper material in the proper order. And if you notice around the valley, Mesa County, you'll see them out sometimes with their shovels and a little truck, and they're filling in potholes. Mesa County will do that themselves. But anytime they are planning to do a major workover, they hire other contractors to do the main work. And they have the contractors have the right equipment. They have the skill and experience. So if you're uncertain whether this is a little repair project to do on your own or if you need to hire better help to help, you could ask around and you'll probably get a good answer about whether it's a personal pothole project or if you actually need some help with more experience and the right tools. And Hebrews 12, verse 13 talks about this. Let's turn to that verse, Hebrews 12, verse 13. Hebrews This would be an example of taking out curves. It kind of goes along with verse 12. I'll just start with verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Okay, the next part is signs and traffic laws. So if your road is closed for repair, it's a good idea to mark it well so that others know not to come into that area and be caught by surprise. Just think about it. What if the county didn't put up any road closed signs because they were embarrassed that they have an improvement that they need to make? And so rather than putting up signs and keeping people out of that section, they just don't put any warning up. How often do we do that? We're embarrassed to have people know that we're under construction. We got a major renovation going on here, but we don't want anyone to know it. Signs have an important part on roads. And I had an experience last fall when we were harvesting corn up 22 Road. I parked north on 22 Road with a semi, and then we loaded, and there was no place there to turn around. And so, okay, I got ahead of myself there. The road was closed off at 21 and L Road, and so I couldn't just do the normal square mile loop like I usually would, but I had to have some place to turn around. So I went on over, and I thought, well, I'll just turn around there at 21 Road and M if I need to. Well, I got there, and there were road closed signs, but they were north of where I needed to turn down toward L Road. And so I thought, well, I guess apparently it's not closed down in there after all. So I turned and went on down, and I got down there to where they were working, and it was very much closed off. And so there was no place to back up. And so I got out and I talked to one of the workers there, and well, he thought maybe it'd be a half hour or something. And I was like, okay, I don't really want to wait here for a half hour. But I explained my situation, and he seemed to understand it. And so he said, well, we can move some signs. And so they left me out fairly soon. And anyway, I was reporting that to one of my friends a few days later who farms in that area. And here what had happened was, the road signs up where I should have turned around were in his way with a wide piece of equipment or a hay truck or something. And so he had just moved the signs north enough to get through and just left them there. And so then when I came along, it looked like I could get through. And so it kind of got me in trouble. So in life, when you move signs, if you need to, you know, maybe put them back. How well does a wide, smooth road work without any signs, even if it's not under construction? Think about, we're moving out of the construction now and more just looking at signs. They are there for our good and safety, even if they don't all make sense. So you can go ahead and run a stop sign out here on these county roads, and there's a really, really high chance that you can blow right through at 50 mile per hour and not get hit or not hit anybody. There's a really high chance that you can do that. And that would be okay until it's not. And then either you get hurt or someone else or both, or worse yet, when that does happen in this valley, it's often fatal because of the speed. If somebody actually doesn't see the sign and blows right through it. And then just think about the "if only I had." We can never undo the damage that is done, no matter how much remorse or sorrow you have for running that stop sign. You cannot redo that. One careless act you might get by with one time or 10 times, but when it is a fatal act, or even maybe not fatal, but damage done, you can't undo it. So signs have their place. So where, what about the signs that you're skeptical of or mistrusting of? Like, for example, on our road, there's a sign that says no outlet. And it's amazing over the years how many people don't seem to know what no outlet mean. They're trying to get through up to the desert. And, like, are you so skeptical and mistrusting that you need to try it anyway? Or how about this one? Are you so spiritual and liberated that the stop or the S-T-O-P on the stop sign actually just means slip through on purpose? Or maybe you're so legalistic that you get a stiff neck when you're from staring up while you're driving through Glenwood Canyons because you saw the sign and it said, watch for falling rocks. And so you just felt obligated to the whole time you're going through there to watch for falling rocks. Well, that's not really what it means, but sometimes we get that legalistic. Okay, so my last point on this is destination. We said in the beginning, roads are to get you from point A to point B, right? We use roads because we are headed somewhere and there we are on a we're on a journey looking for a destination. And unlike what the world wants us to think, they all say all roads lead home. Like, take any road you want. It will get you home. That is not the case. The road you are working will take you to one of two destinations. And the question you need to think about, we need to think about every day, is where will you be when you get to where you are going? It's kind of a simple question, and yet when you think about how profound it is the road you're on now, the path you're taking, is taking you somewhere. Where will you be when you get to that place? It very much depends on what material you've used to build your road, how many hazards you've helped to clear off for yourself and other people. Let's turn for a closing scripture to Isaiah 35. Very beautiful picture here in Isaiah 35. We'll read verses 8 through 10. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Let's kneel for prayer.